I'm going to talk to you tonight about the relationship, as I see it, between science and human values. Many people think this relationship is somehow problematic, usually because they think that the universe is parceled into these separate quantities. On the one hand, we have facts, which obviously science can deal with. But on the other, we have values, which, inconveniently for us, cover the most important questions in human life, and it's thought science really can't touch these. Questions of right and wrong and good and evil. The core issues of how to raise our children, what proper goals we should strive for in life. And it's thought that while science may be able to help us get what we value, it can never tell us what we ought to value. And I want to push this intuition around because I think this is an illusion. I think the split between facts and values is an illusion. I actually think the connection between facts and values is actually quite straightforward. Values reduce to facts. They reduce to facts about the well-being of conscious creatures. And if you just imagine a universe where there are only rocks, clearly there are no values in this universe. There's nothing that can care about change in the universe. The moment you get conscious minds, they can experience change. Then we can talk about changes that matter. We can talk about right and wrong and good and evil. We can talk about this because what there is to value are changes in experience, to the degree that experience can change. So if we care more about our fellow primates than we do about insects, as indeed we do, it's because we believe they're laid bare to a wider spectrum of changes in experience. And I think we're right to feel that way. We're right to have our moral intuitions track the possibilities of experience. And if you doubt this, I would just ask you to consider, imagine a universe in which every conscious creature suffers as much as it possibly can for as long as it can. Okay, I call this the worst possible misery for everyone. Okay, the worst possible misery for everyone is bad. Now, if the word bad means anything, it applies to that situation. Now, if you think that the worst possible misery for everyone might not be bad, or it might be good in the end, or there might be something worse, I don't know what you're talking about. And what's more, I'm pretty sure you don't know what you're talking about either. Now, this, it seems to me, is the only philosophical assumption you have to grant me. The worst possible misery for everyone is bad, and everything else, every other possible state of the universe, is better. And given that the experience of conscious minds is a natural phenomenon emerging out of the way the universe is, and is constrained by the laws of nature in some way, then there are going to be right and wrong ways to move along this continuum of possible experience. There are going to be right answers to the question of how to avoid the worst possible misery. And it'll be possible to be wrong in your efforts to avoid the worst possible misery. And that's all we need for a science of morality. Now, some of you may be concerned that this notion of the well-being of conscious creatures is not well-defined enough. Think by analogy of physical health. Okay, physical health as a concept is very loosely defined. It's a truly elastic concept which changes as we make breakthroughs in medicine. How would you convince someone with terminal smallpox that he's not as healthy as you are? We don't have to convince. We can't convince a majority of the American population that evolution is a fact, and yet biology thrives. Scientific truth is not predicated on convincing everyone. All we can do in that case is appeal to scientific values. The most basic scientific fact relies on the value of understanding the universe, the value of respect for evidence. I mean, what evidence could we put forward? If someone doesn't respect evidence, what evidence could we put forward proving that they should? If someone doesn't respect logical consistency, what logical argument can we put forward? And so too with parsimony and intellectual honesty and mathematical elegance in other areas of science. I mean, these are values. Science is in the values business. And clearly there's a continuum of facts that relate most directly to human well-being, about which we can form true or false beliefs. There's something to be understood about how societies fail, about how people fail to collaborate, and movement on that continuum is non-random. And the requisites of human well-being can clearly be understood on many levels. We're talking about the genome, we're talking about states of the human brain, and we're also talking about economic systems and political arrangements. But each of these levels, granted the details are complex, each falls into one of the familiar bins of science. We're talking about genetics and neurobiology and psychology and sociology and economics. This captures our possible discussion about the real causes of human and animal well-being. And so what I would ask you to consider is a moral landscape where the peaks correspond to the heights of human well-being, to speak of our case, and the valleys correspond to the lowest depths of misery. And one thing to notice is that there may in fact be many peaks on this landscape. There may be many equivalent but dissimilar ways to thrive. But there will be many more ways not to be on a peak. I mean, clearly there can still be right and wrong answers about how to move in this space. And when you admit this, you have to admit that some people are wrong about how we should live in this world, which is to say, some people care about the wrong things. They care about things that reliably lead to needless human misery. And it is not unscientific to say that. To withhold that judgment from the point of view of science is tantamount to saying we know nothing about human well-being and we will never know anything about it. And that, I think, is at this moment in history an intellectually dishonest thing to do, and I think it's actually a failure of compassion given all of the unnecessary misery in the world. Thank you very much.